Welcome to the Do They Deserve Love podcast. My name is Alan Shane Lewis.
Hey, I'm Sarah Galley.
Yes, and we're back. We're back. Season two. Are you excited?
I'm excited.
We haven't seen you in so long, but we've decided to come back. Now we're in podcast form, as we always were. I don't know why I'm trying to make that Simpsons joke, but no one cares. So how have you been doing?
I'm okay.
Yeah?
I have not been watching a lot of rom-coms, to be honest.
Is it not the time for love?
It's always a time for love.
That's a trick question. I'm glad you answered it correctly.
It's always the time for love.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I lacked patience, maybe, like during during quarantine.
Yeah.
A joke I would have with you all often would be like, you watch a rom-com and I'd be like, why aren't you guys like naked right now? Like, why are we waiting? Who cares?
What's going on?
You know, the melting.
You've seen the reports. You know what's happening. You have the news. Come on, Julia Roberts, hurry up. What's going on? But, we're back. We have some fun stuff in the works right now. We have an amazing movie. Oh my gosh. An amazing movie. Mm-hmm. Are you excited for this one?
Super excited.
What's your relationship to this one?
I watched it on TV. It's my introduction to Tim Burton.
Okay.
I'll say that. So maybe Batman was.
Yeah, Batman. Yeah, 89. I think this was probably my introduction to him. Because I don't know which one came first, the chicken or the egg. Yeah.
I don't know. But
we should say it, yeah.
This movie was like, we were thinking Halloween movies.
Yeah, so this is the theme.
Love
so,
stories.
Spooky love.
Spooky love.
And that movie, of course, is Tim Burton's Edward Scissorhands, 1999 romance, comedy, fantasy. Fun movie. But what is it about? Let's read about the synopsis. Mm-hmm. A scientist, Vincent Price, builds an animated human being, the gentle Edward, played by Johnny Depp. The scientist dies before he can finish assembling Edward, though, leaving the young man with a freakish appearance accentuated by the scissor blades he has instead of hands. Loving suburban saleswoman Peg, Diane West, discovers Edward and takes him home, where he falls for Peg's teen daughter, Winona Ryder. Ooh. However, despite his kindness and artistic talent, Edward's hands make him an outcast.
Yeah.
That is what it's about. It's a fun movie.
Yes.
I guess we can kind of just go into it. I don't know how to attack it anymore. I've lost my edge.
Well, like, I think it's so funny, and I'm going to say something I know is stupid.
Yes. That's a good way to preface it. Cool, let's go. What is it?
I feel like the movie was, like, an allegory for interracial dating.
I didn't think about that.
Like,
that's interesting. Nat
King Cole moving. All the women were into him.
I didn't even take that in. I just was like,
all the haircuts
love scissors for
were
hands.
Black hairstyles. All the haircuts were black hairstyles.
Oh my gosh. I did not notice that. Yes.
Have you seen
they all had some like some dudes. They had some nice dudes. Oh my goodness.
Some black hairstyle haircuts.
And like, oh, he's kind of dangerous? Wait a minute. Hold on, I gotta watch this movie again. We'll be back. I won't.
And also, I'm like, yo, Edward Scissorhands is a black man, and then I was like, no. Then Johnny Depp is like the early Scarlett Johansson.
I wrote a joke that the black version made by Tyler Perry would be called Edward Clipperhands, and I wasn't proud of it, but I was high and I tweeted it, and I was happy about it for that reason. Just a sketch. Edward, he's got little clipper hands. He's giving lineups to people. Like
a clean fade, yeah.
Yeah. Like, we want a two or a one. He's got that going on.
I got a golf clap for that.
I'm selling this movie. So if you want to purchase this, go to our Patreon now.
So yeah, it's just like, I was like, oh yeah, is it about interracial dating or something?
Did not.
Like that?
Yeah, because here's the thing. Yeah. The women in that town were uncontrollably horny. Just the horniest of people, all of them, massively horny for that man.
Yeah.
To the point where I was like, I don't know if this is okay, because he feels like he's not like he's emotionally what, like six or something like that? I don't know. He's very young.
I don't know. I don't get Edward.
Yeah.
Edward's like beyond his artistic ability, which I guess like maybe comes from like you'd imagine to be like a deep soul, a deep understanding mm-hmm. human condition, whatever that is. But like beyond his otherness, I don't understand the mystique, the attraction, the mm-hmm. et cetera. Because scissors are dangerous.
They're very dangerous. As we saw in the final act.
Yeah. In many instances, yeah.
Yeah.
But like in intimate scenarios, quite dangerous.
That's what I was like, why are they so hot on this? I'm like, that seems, unless danger is what's, damn it, it's an allegory for intervention.
Saw the cops?
Yeah. Wait a minute.
Yeah. And then like the robbery, they let him
pin on him.
Face. Oh shoot, we were like the spoiler alert. Sorry about that.
But I can't believe when everything's tainted. All these notes I have, they don't mean this. I wrote off the top though.
Yes.
Who doesn't love a Danny Elfman score though?
Yo, I didn't know it was Danny Elfman. Yeah. That makes sense. He's a very famous composer, film mm-hmm. Hollywood composer. But I was like amazed by the music in this film, because it was like a lot of our rom-coms rely on pop songs.
Mm-hmm. Especially ones that like don't fit, which is so odd. They just play like the one that everyone likes.
Or like a montage.
Like that's not the one I want to hear now. Like that's not a bad song. It just doesn't fit the narrative.
But I will say, going to the film and the music that composing the music played into the film. Johnny Depp's Edward Scissorhands, when he like kind of sees Winona's character for the first time, or not the first time actually, but like in a scenario where he has feelings for her, mm-hmm. she's like with her boyfriend, and she's like flirting, and he has his arm around her. And Edward's just watching, like, wantingly. And it was like, without that music, you'd be like, oh my God, what a creep.
Yeah.
What a...
It really...
Ew!
It tempers the moment and goes, oh, there's the filter I can, you know, digest this with.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, okay. I understand he has a deep soul.
I don't know if he... Does he have a deep soul? Is it just because he's
he's been abused?
It's the thing. He just doesn't have like the stink of the world. He's innocent in that way that he's just away from it. But I don't think he has a true deep. I don't know. I didn't read that from it at least, because like I feel like there's moments where he just shows his like bitter jealousy and what he would do if he doesn't get. And it's like very childlike. It's a childlike reaction, and I think that's
He gave me very like. Nice guy emo vibe.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm a nice guy. Yeah. Why aren't I getting the girl?
Why isn't she not like me? Slices up the wall. It's like, all right.
Yes.
All right, Chad, you put a hole in the wall. That's why she doesn't like you.
Yeah. Does he have a deep soul? We don't know if he has anything. But you get the sense that he has a level of heart. Like, that's there's a recurring thing about, politeness in the movie. Mm-hmm. They come to I don't know the woman's who the family that's
Peg?
Hosting
Peg?
Peg? Peg?
I think it's Peg.
The Avon lady.
Yeah.
So all the other neighbors are like, okay, well, you know, the polite thing is you have to like, you know, invite us so we can be there. And they don't really care about what quote unquote politeness is, but or what being nice is. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but it's all, like, they're all following technically the rules, but not the heart behind the rules. Does that make sense?
Well, like, Whereas, it's this kind of agreed upon niceties that you have to kind of, like, but it's not, there's no earnest in it, there's no sincerity. It's just like, these are the things, right? And they're kind of, like, pushing,
And they have ulterior motives, et cetera. And Edward comes in each scenario with no ulterior motives. Like, he's basically the only one without any ulterior motives, and also who doesn't know the niceties, the you're supposed to do.
Well, the mom, you know, I feel like she...
The family seems sincere.
Yeah. I like Alan Arkin's character. He's very funny. The dad, he's just, like, so like, unbothered, just like, yeah, you know, whatever. Like, I know she's running off screaming. Don't worry about her. She's a kook. She's just saying all that. It's just, like, nothing kind of really phases him.
Yeah.
The part where he gives him the alcohol is, like, a really funny moment where he's like, what are you drinking? He's like, apple juice. And then he just drinks it. He's like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He puts it away before his wife comes back. He's like, oh, she's going to notice what's going on here. So let me, he was a fun little playful thing.
Yeah. He had good energy.
Yeah. Good vibes.
Good vibes.
Yeah, just vibes.
Yeah.
Did you buy the prosthetics? My memory of this movie, like of the scissor hands, were like they looked horrible.
Oh.
I thought they would look so fake. But I went going back now, I'm like, you know what? They're not bad. I buy it.
They're not that bad. Like there's no point. Well, here's the thing, you probably were looking for faults as a younger person, you know, like kind of like, oh, another Mission Impossible. I can see the strings. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like you're just enjoying, like, you know, it's an older movie. What am I gonna try to look for the little thingy.
See if I can see his fingers in there. That's what I was like looking at. But then now I'm like, oh no, that's fine. What was I thinking about? Also, like, I love seeing movies that give us like an insight into Tim Burton's brain.
Uh huh.
Because like,
what do you think of his brain?
I think like what his house would look like is that gothic house. Like, I think that's like he has to have a gothic house, right? Like,
I think he would have a bright house, but like weirdly shaped.
So it's got like windows that got like shapes that don't even really exist, like a 7-point kind of star, or like some weird, like, I don't know, edge point or.
But that's like the thing about Tim Burton is like in the movie, like early on, this whole neighborhood, it's bright. The colors are super bright pastel, but you can almost like before that mansion or any idea of like the darkness of Edward, you like sense darkness.
Yeah, it's like that. The music, the ominous part of that, right?
Yeah.
That find like, dun, 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 like it's weird. Like you see these like cookie cutter families. Everyone's got like the same house, but just everything's like one shade down the line.
I was gonna say the beginning where she's telling the story to like her granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
Reminded me a little like how Princess Bride starts. It's like this granddad telling a story to his grandson.
You're gonna hate me, but I've never seen The Princess Bride.
It's totally okay.
I feel bad. Every time I see the jokes, I'm like, yeah, pretending I know what they're.
But what was different, fairly different, in Princess Bride, what I like about rom-coms in general is just sort of like there's just always a little like tension, like will they, won't they? You know, like just. Yeah, and like in Princess Bride there is, they're like, okay, you don't know, and also there's like a quest involved where Edward his sister hand is just sort of like, I want this girl, will she see how good I am, and she then does see how good he is, and then like they both like let each other live.
Yeah.
It feels like a very unfulfilling rom-com.
Yeah, it's in a way it kind of breaks convention of what kind of happens, because it's from afar love. There's not that much communication, and actually the daughter doesn't come into like halfway through. Comes in very late, isn't it? Like I forgot to check the time stamp, but it felt like it was a portion of the movie kind of happened.
I thought it starts with her telling the story.
It starts originally, you're right. Yeah. But as her younger self, she doesn't really show up today. Like her and Edward.
True. We get a build. It's all about him, essentially.
Yeah.
Which makes it uneven, right, in terms of a romantic story.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it is more about like him. It's just a very like he's kind of like on the. She's almost secondary.
Mm-hmm.
She's strange because she's the one telling the story.
Exactly. Yeah. Does she narrate after she starts at the beginning, or does she just bounce out? I don't remember.
Oh, at the end.
She comes back at the end, so she kind of buttons the whole story. She's not like kind of.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. One thing I randomly wrote about that scene, the bed looked like a very big bed, like a Whoville bed.
Yes, that little child.
So tiny. And the bed was just like this gigantic little thing. I'm like, that's something.
She could have got lost in that bed.
Yeah. She would get tired trying to get out of it. It was so tiny. Yeah. very colorful world. Oh, the person who does the cutting of the shrubs for real, like that person is a good person.
What do you mean?
like, you know how like he ends up cutting the shrubs and it looks like something cool or whatever? I think the person who actually does it, they should get a nod. They'd be like, you know, I worked on Edward Scissorhands, right? Like, you know, I did. That's my work. So watch that movie, think of me. Like, I want to hire that person. I feel like that's free advertising if I've ever seen it.
I like that.
Is this thing on?
As a truck with Edward on it.
You see that? That's my company.
Yeah. His job would be less impressive without me, is all I'm saying. Yeah.
Just Tim Burton, I made his career. Just saying. I'm not saying what I'm saying. Okay. Massive sets. Don't see that anymore. I appreciated that.
Yes.
I felt like, especially at the scientist's house, at Vincent Price's house, that looked really cool. That wasn't like CG or something like that, huh?
I don't think anything was. Yeah.
No? Okay. It's before that time.
But yeah.
It was,
It was a world. It was a world of its own, right? Yeah. Like, and it's a neighborhood. What do you think of any comedic elements in this film?
Let's see what I have here. This is where I cut this part out. I just wrote Joe's horny audio. That's for, I guess, for cutting through there. So characters.
She was a very, what's the woman from Married with Children?
Peggy? Yeah, Peggy, yeah.
She was very Peggy-esque, right?
Yeah, I felt that from her.
Just the hair, the
style. Dude, the cigarette. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like her early moments where she was just like discussing all that stuff while that guy was like just trying to like talk to her about the dishwasher. She was just like being all sultry. That was was a fun scene. The scenes with her were fun. I think the dad scenes, I think, drinking that alcohol definitely was a funny scene to kind of...
He was nice. He was just giving like really general dad advice. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm just like, save your money.
You gotta do. And then, he's like checking in with that, like, her boyfriend. I forgot his name. That guy looked evil from the jump, by the way. I looked at him, I was like, that guy's evil.
You're good with trivia. Is he the same actor as the boy in 16 Candles?
No.
Okay.
But
is he like a known actor?
That's interesting. I don't think so. But what was his name? Jim?
The little short boy in 16 Candles?
It's Jim. Michael Anthony Hall. Or is Anthony Michael Hall.
Is it? Okay.
I think it is him.
Is it?
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, I was like,
he's Farmer Ted, just like him. The geek. Damn.
Yeah.
He put on the weight. He's like, nah, man, I'm not no geek no more. Guess what? I'm a bad guy in a movie. Well, he was a bad guy in 16.
He was kind of bad. He was not. Yeah.
He was not a good guy.
That was very problematic. It's so
very. Oh, just like,
it's so bad. Yeah.
Left, ooh, right, and center. That movie is a line stepper. Let me tell you.
Yes. So Michael Anthony Hall, interesting. Yeah. He was, he looked just like a bad guy from the beginning. But again, white privilege.
Just gets away from like, he seems like a good guy. That guy seemed crooked from the jump, bro.
Yeah. Who else is, I don't know. I can't think of anything. I know. No, I don't. I don't know anything.
Where it shows up in the coolest. Also, I just put waterbed. That was cool. I love a good waterbed scene. Because there's always going to be a waterbed gag. That's what it always comes with. I love that. It's like,
also,
of course they have to pierce that.
Oh my God. Have you seen She's Gotta Have It? The Netflix special?
No,
the Netflix series?
Okay. No, just the original.
It's not good. I don't like it. The characters aren't likable. But there's a scene of this guy who has like hooks. And he works at the strip club, and this girl gets like inflatable butt implants, and obviously he does the Edward Scissorhand thing,
pops them, and they just come oozing
and
out.
Pops them, and I was just like,
Spike Lee, is he a part of that?
Yes.
Those was that clicked off
of, he's just not laptop. Like, you're not in tune with what's happening, bro.
But he made Defiant Bloods, why would he do that?
It was so silly. Gang. That was such an Edward Scissorhands moment. Like, yeah. And you know what's happening. You know, it's like he's
sharp thing, waterbed. Of course. Let's count. I'll start the clock from now when that's going to happen. When these two shall meet, I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
You know? I feel like, a lot of 80s and 90s programs had the waterbed thing, and it just never took off, huh?
Yeah.
Did you have a waterbed?
I don't know. I never had a nice when I was a kid.
Let me just start off. I never had anything
except
nice.
My parents' love, but yeah. I remember other kids or friends having waterbeds, and I was like, ooh, how luxurious.
Yeah.
But in fact, it wasn't that luxurious.
It seemed like a bad night's sleep. Doesn't
yeah.
seem good. You can't fuck Edward Scissorhands in it.
So and you got to be careful. Yeah. Edward Scissorhands can't come over.
Can't fuck him. That's terrible.
Sorry.
Now my memory foam, he can, he can chill. Also, memory foam might not be good. My lower back. But that's here nor there. I think that's the first part of this. That's a good stopping point. We can come back. We'll just chit-chat about the characters. Thank you for listening to the Do They Deserve Love podcast.
Stand right up.
What's been the best part of your new life here in town?
The friends I've made.
Any other questions?
Have you ever thought of having corrective surgery or prosthetics? I know a doctor that might be able to help you.
I'd like to meet him.
We'll get that name after the show. Thank you very much. That's very nice. Anyone else? Yes, stand right up.
But if you had regular hands, you'd be like everyone else.
Yes, I know.
I think he'd like that.
But then no one would think you were special. You wouldn't be on TV or anything.
No matter what, Edward will always be special.
More questions? We are back with Do They Deserve Love podcast. What is our next segment, Alan?
The next segment are characters. Yay!
Ooh.
Should we start off with the title character, titular character?
Edward?
Yes, Edward. Ed? Edward Cullen.
Ed, as some people like to call him.
Yeah, played Ed. By the incomparable Johnny Depp. Is that even the word I want to use right there?
Yeah, and I feel like this movie is like, I feel like the way he plays this character is almost like how he plays every other character. Just like wide-eyed.
Yeah.
There's a couple of movies where he's like mute. Was it Johnny and Moon? June and something? There's a couple of movies where he's like basically a mute love interest.
Mm-hmm. Just got that very innocent kind of whatever look. I feel like he had to come up with this. I thought it was something like he was like a choice, a very like choice with his eyes and his movements, and it felt like very just like he had to sustain that for like I don't know how many hours of shooting.
True.
But I feel like that's kind of his normal kind of his thing in his wheelhouse.
Did you get any Charlie Chaplin vibes? I just thought of it just now. Mm. Like his pants, his like just the costuming.
Yeah, because he had very kind of like yeah, he got like a very like 20s, you know, 10s. Ish kind of style.
Tens?
Yeah, the tens. Yeah. What do they call
them? And then he's mute. So like, and then like he's very expressive
mm-hmm.
From the face. Not so much, I guess, body language. I guess the scissors do a lot of that.
Yeah. Do you want to hear something embarrassing? I didn't realize that the scars on his face were from his scissors. I watched it before, up until literally watching this movie now, because I watched it once when I was younger and then now here.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, yeah, it's a weird scarred face. That's so, okay. Yeah, that's why, because he can't touch his
face. Yeah.
It took me a second.
Makes him all the more like a tragic figure mm-hmm. early on, right? And I think Peg, the mom, really does take him on. In huge part because of that. You don't get the sense he's abused, but there's like a sense of like neglect.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like a deep neglect of this like human life.
Yeah. Do you think, like, if he had the full experience with that doctor, he would have a better sense of humanity? Like, he would become human?
What's the full experience?
I don't know. Maybe, like...
More surgery?
Just a little bit more. Well, he's getting the hands, but...
He's Dr. Miami. He's like, yeah. He gets an Instagram body.
Yo, Dr. Miami's making money. For not even the doctor stuff. Just being just a person. That's amazing.
True. True.
He's
the DJ Khaled of surgery.
Okay, that Dr. Miami or Dr. Pimple Popper shows up at a nightclub. Which one do you go to first?
Pimple Popper.
Yeah, that's the right choice.
Is it? No, it's just very telling of me.
Like, yo, she got that TLC money. What's up? Take a picture, snap with it.
No. Yeah. But yeah, so he's a very tragic. You were saying if he had the full experience, what does a full experience look like?
I don't know. Just maybe another month. I don't know. How old is he?
Of like affection? I don't think that doctor was capable of affection.
Because the doctor was like reading him a book and he was trying to explain to him like how it is to be human. And he was like saying all these things. And I'm like, is it a case of like that he's a robot that he'll never have a soul? Or not a soul, but like some type of like understanding of humanity? Because he's still not there. Or is it just a thing of time? Is it a thing of like he'll never have it? Like what is your assessment?
You can't condense like human experience via like a book like that. You have to actually experience those things. And so like the doctor, instead of like experiencing things with this boy, man boy
robot,
you know what I mean? Instead of like doing them with them and then like letting him experience it, it's just like explaining. You can't like really explain.
So what was the doctor's
like? I guess
goal?
You could explain these things to a person, like these human experiences, but it doesn't equate to experiencing it.
Mm-hmm. What was the doctor's goal? He just wanted to create life just because he could.
He's like one of these like Geppetto types. You know what I mean? Like I think, mad scientist like Frankenstein. Okay, Frankenstein is the monster.
I wouldn't have been like, listen, actually, it's Frankenstein's. I wouldn't have done that. Or maybe I wouldn't have. But I will say bruschetta. I will come at you for that. I don't know why I'm lying. Sorry.
But I don't know. Like, there's all these like other stories that have like this scientist type who makes something. And there's like, part of it is like ego, right? Of like, can I be God?
Yeah.
Right?
Because they kind of just like throw away the beginning. They're just like, they kind of throw you into it. They're just like, he created a kid, or you want to create it, and that was it. And they just like threw that away. They didn't explain how. He just saw a piece of his, what was it, like an ironing kind of table? Yeah. Or what was, whatever the machine was, the very goofy looking Rube Goldberg machine kind of thing. And he just turned that into... So they just kind of throw you into that world, and they're like, this is the person. I'm like, yeah. And I believe it because like it's Tim Burton movie. Like, why not? Like, that's just like the fun characters we get to have, you know, like this is the only place you get to have this, experience this.
Absolutely. I think it's also weird that the house was just like, there's this like very suburban organized neighborhood. And then over in the mountain is this, not even a shack, it's a mansion. Yeah. And a great estate, you know what I mean, that's just like clouded with, I don't know, I guess
spooky.
Cumulus specifically there. Yeah, very spooky. Yeah. But like, even Peggy just like notices it like on off chance. Did they just move in that neighborhood or something?
No, because she knew all the people that she was visiting.
So like, yeah, it's odd, right?
Like, yeah, they just...
And no one ever bothered to check out.
Yeah.
To check it
They're
out.
They're just too self-involved in their own world.
Yeah.
That they would never notice it. And it took the one person who's trying to make a sale, working class, to notice this.
Trying to make that money.
Yeah. I love it.
So I found that a bit odd. But there's just something otherworldly altogether with the story, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and even like the grandma, she's a grandma now telling it to her granddaughter. But I feel like there's also something missing there. It's just like, it's almost meant to be like a lesson about like good intentions, right? Because Edward kind of represents that, like just being a good-hearted person, but not fitting in. And I feel like that's maybe like the point of the film, like just like telling the story to a child. I don't know. What do you feel? What do you think? Yeah.
No, I definitely kind of get that vibes from it. And yeah, there is that kind of element of like Frankensteinish within the story itself. It's very kind of reminiscing of that. And that idea of that, like the spooky house at the end of the lane type of thing. Cause even like Beetlejuice with that same type of like house vibe on top of whatever within suburbia, like within suburbia itself, there's mystery and yeah. Vincent Price just lives there.
Yeah. Vincent Price of all people.
Yeah. My Vincent Price knowledge stems from Scooby-Doo and the 13 Ghosts. The 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo, I should say. That's the proper title. That's my experience with Vincent Price and a little bit of Bad music video. That's it. It's all I know.
Bad.
Beyond that.
Bad? No, a Thriller.
Yeah, he's Thriller. Sorry, my bad.
He's there.
He was Bad.
Imagine.
People he's fighting in the streets. Stabbings afoot.
I know him from a Sesame Street reference. Mm-hmm. Whenever it was Masterpiece Theater. Vincent Twice would host.
This is where we play that scene right after that. If we have the capabilities, I feel like we can.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, I wrote here for
characters.
Edward Scissorhands. Mm-hmm. Edward Scissorhands, that'd be a great group costume. You get the different versions of him because there's like that leather kind of 90s Catwoman steampunk maybe question mark. I don't know if it was. Okay. Then you have the Jack Sparrow, the Jack, what's it from Titanic? Like he's got the, you know, yes, that's the more
suspender and the mug. Yeah, yeah.
What else you have? There's the jacket later on where he's like wearing everything, trying to like fit in. There's you know three dudes, three anybody.
With the black lady's wig.
<That'd> yeah. cool. You have different looks. I'm just saying. Oh yeah, when they're on the TV show too as well.
Yes. That was also odd. Like, it's so insular, this world, that they have, like, their own Jerry Springer show like, that's specific to that neighborhood.
Yeah. You know? Which I really enjoyed that. That was so cool to be like, oh, wow, this is just, like, a fun, weird world, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Which fits into, like, how weird that child's bed was. It's just like, this is another place. This is another. Yeah. There's just different rules here.
This is Tim Burton rules. You best get into it. Kim Boggs, we can talk about her. Winona Ryder.
Yes.
Once again, it's a very one-sided story, even though she's telling it.
Yes.
You don't really see a lot about her. What did you kind of gather from her first introduction when she comes off the that bus with her friends?
What does she say? She's like something along the lines of she won't get in trouble. Like her parents don't run her house like a police state or something.
Come over. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I feel like she kind of.
Because I think her boyfriend, even though he's like a bully jock, you're also like concerned a little. Like you're just like, oh, is this normal? Like his dad like locks stuff away from him.
Yeah,
he's scared. Like he's scared to come home early. Yeah. like early is a good thing, but you know what I mean? Like usually coming home early is a good thing, as opposed to later than expected when you're a child.
I didn't even see that foreshadowing coming up of him being like piece of shit. I just looked at him and I was like, bad vibes from this guy.
He is bad vibes, but it's also like, yo, your household is like, you're probably eating at the other family's house for safety.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
He's afraid to make noise while he eats. Like if I slurp, my dad hits me. Like he just gets, you know.
Yeah. But her character, what's the character's name again?
Kim Boggs.
Kim Boggs. Very simple.
Girl next door.
Girl next door, good-hearted from the beginning. Not much character development, like just not. Even though the story is told from her POV and it's her telling like an unrequited love story, yeah. You don't really get like a sense of like her passion for this guy. It's just more of her like opening her eyes to how nice he is.
Mm-hmm. And how the world kind of tries to take from him, or what is. I don't know what they're trying to like.
Well, here's the thing, okay? Her boyfriend tells her, like, because she's, like, upset with him because at the robbery, they're okay with blaming Edward.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, so did you.
Yeah, which was, like, fair point. Fair point.
Which is true.
You can't, you're dressed in black just like everyone else. Like,
yeah, and you're also made a choice. And you're also not tattling. You're also not telling, saying it's not him. Like, you could be. Saying it's not him, but you're not doing anything about it. So it's like,
yeah.
Edward is a black guy.
Yeah. Oh, here's another thing too. To kind of buttress your point there, even after a lifetime of isolation, yes, he still knew not to snitch. He doesn't even know. He's not even taught the street code, but he knew the street code. You know what I'm saying? He's like, wait a minute.
I don't know nothing.
I don't know nothing. What are you talking about, dog? Didn't snitch.
ACAB. Basically.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think she's like, not like it does play into like, is this an allegory for interracial dating? Yeah. Possibly.
And he ran from the police.
And he had every reason to. You know, like they were.
They're like, put down the weapon. He's like, I don't have a weapon. And they're like, still.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize it. Damn, stay woke.
100%. Stay woke. Open your third eye.
My third eye was closed the entire movie. I was like, I don't need it. Put it away. I'll just use these two eyes. That's all I need. And I had that third one.
But she's just not. She's like, She's almost secondary, despite being the quote unquote narrator.
Yeah. Well,
because it's not her pursuit. It's, you know, in terms of romance, and technically she's telling the story as this like unrequited thing, and it's just like, no, she had a house guest. He was nice and unusual. Yes. Obviously had the hots for her. You know what I mean? He almost went to jail for her.
Yeah. Yeah, this is not a story you tell someone right before bed, like a child before bed. Let me tell you about this young man used to live with us, and I wanted to smash. Let me tell you, this guy you went to prison for me. I got him in trouble. Whew, you know what I'm talking about, right? All right, you know, get a little dead. Like,
Grandma got it. And Grandma's got it.
Yeah. Damn it! Didn't even take that any.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, like them not getting together. I feel like we can talk about this. Them not getting together was not a surprise.
Right? Oh, okay.
And also, why didn't
he? Why is it not a surprise?
It didn't feel like, I don't know why they liked each other. I think he just liked it because he liked her. He's like, whoa. But like her seeing him, I don't know what I don't know the turn really in like where she's the point where she's like, damn. That's Johnny Depp under all that makeup. Like, like I don't know. I didn't see that.
Neither did I, but that's technically what you're supposed to assume, that they're like feeling for each other, like in a romantic way. But like, and that's kind of how she's telling the story too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're right. Like I would say, well, because it's also suggested that he like faked his death, right?
At the end, yeah.
Yeah. But she knows he's alive.
He could have came down anytime 5 years later and started dating her. No one's going to remember that. Just put on some fake hands. Just because I feel like she could have moved up there. There's so many logistical reasons how they could have kept that going. Unless maybe they're still doing it. Maybe Granny goes up. She, you know, she's like, I gotta go. Anyways, don't look out up to the top of that guy.
Of course. Well, they could have, but you're saying there's no actual interest to do anything?
I think that must be the reason why. Like, why?
Well,
not?
She says, oh, I'm an old lady now. I prefer he remembers me for what I was. Which, again, I feel like is such a, like, I know it's the woman telling the story, but it's such a guy thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's a male, that's also like a man's way of looking at past love, yeah, et cetera. Like, yeah.
Like, but she's old now. How could they possibly still be in love? Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Get it, Grandma.
Yeah. Granny should go up there, you know?
Especially if you're thinking about him.
Yeah.
But.
He's still chopping things up in your shape. Like, come on. Get it.
I don't know. I just don't think they have anything to talk about.
Yeah. I feel like
is that maybe because one of them doesn't talk, but
yeah.
Or does he talk? Does Johnny ever talk?
Yeah, he talks. He's just very kind of like this, you know. She got naked and then she did. Remember that part?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was a very concerning. So I was like, uh-oh.
Like, maybe he's like a man boy.
Yeah, the 1990s is sneaking out of this movie right now. She's just like climbing on top of him and Joyce. Yeah.
I don't know. You're just, I don't know. I mean, I'm really trying to think about this sincerely.
Yeah. No, I've completely sucked the fact that it's a movie out of it. I'm like, no, they would not be in love. I don't see it. Like, I won't even pretend. Not even, no. But like, yeah, I you know, this is the fun.
Here's the thing. I don't think, I think Johnny's character is very much like very incel-y.
Yeah, he kind of has that vibes where he didn't get what he wanted and he's like kind of mad. And
yeah, and that plays into her just like being this angelic person, young person who's in love with, and like no like complexity. Yeah, I don't know. And then like I guess their love is like very, it's very chaste, it's very unrequited, and like there's a lot of what do you call it, like regret. Which I guess is the point of the film.
Yeah, it's just a kind of, yeah, that long love, right? Long love last kind of
like well, yeah, you know. What could have been. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like you're, it's better to imagine what could have been as opposed to like what's.
Yeah, I don't think here's the thing. I don't think she wanted to marry that robot. I feel like that's just you not think a good look.
Did she marry the bully?
But was that child blonde?
I think so.
Oh man, she married the bully. No, he died.
Oh shit.
Okay. Yeah, he died. He got stabbed. Yo, wait a minute. She covered up. She talked about a murder. Wait a minute. She should not have been telling this story to the child. That whole time, that child probably grew up thinking about like that murder that happened going down a different way. She's like, that's not how I heard it, Granny.
She's just in bed that night, like.
Grandma's capable of covering up a murder. Yeah. Damn. Yeah, did not even realize that. Damn. Yeah, she has good parents, though. I think her parents are very great. They're good people.
That was a good family.
To want to adopt somebody on sight unseen. That's humanity right there.
And deal to take care of him and take care of his little scars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a moment where she's like trying to put the makeup on him. I think that was like that's like a metaphor for don't put the makeup on. You don't need like to change and conform. Was that?
It was also how they never get black makeup right.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The coloring was all off. It's just like she didn't have the shade.
Yeah.
The mom, we talked about the dad earlier. Talk about Joyce, how horny she was. She was a horny. That was just her character. They were
just
like
just her character.
Horny wife. That's all we got.
MILF before MILF was a term.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did we had the jock who was a piece of crap. Yep. Anthony Michael Hall. That's all like, for the main character. The son sucked. Like,
the what? The son sucked?
I didn't like him.
Oh. Why?
I don't know. He was like at the end there. He could have been a little chiller. He was like freaking out a little too much.
Yeah.
Like, get away from me! Oh, it's like okay, well.
But also, you see how quickly that whole neighborhood turned on Edward?
Oh, one time.
Yeah.
Black man. You're not wrong. After this is done, I am gonna Google that, and I'm gonna see all of them on the articles. Or if not, we have to write them. I feel like that's our duty, right?
Edward is Nat King Cole, moving to a white neighborhood.
Yeah.
I said it.
Those are, I guess, the characters. We can talk about the ROMs, the ROM moments. Did you notice anything from that movie that was like kind of like, oh, that kind of?
No.
No, I had one.
Yeah, go.
The one where he's like, she's like, hold me. And he's like, I can't. And then he like, because he's got the hands and he goes away. And then she holds him instead. And it's like, oh, that's what it means. She just has, someone has to come to him. And it's like this whole moment. I was like, that's sweet. That was a sweet moment. Yeah.
That didn't register.
Yeah. Other than that.
Very sweet.
There was nothing else.
I think, no, I nothing like pops out. Other than like at the end where she's like, it never snowed in this neighborhood until he moved in. Mm-hmm. And now it snows every year because of him. And there was that night where like he ice sculptured or whatever.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, how.
That was kind of fun. It's kind of sweet.
Beautiful. Yeah.
But that wouldn't change the climate. It would still melt. It's still California. It's like, all right, it's a movie. I forget. Wait a minute, if there was the internet back then, I'd be writing Tim Burton an email like
Imagine like a back and forth with Tim Burton.
He just explains to me. I'm like, all right, well, that makes sense. But also, my rebuttal to that is they share a kiss in the end.
They do.
Yeah. How was that kiss? What did you rate that kiss? Was that a hot kiss or is it a not kiss? Is that a new segment, hot or not?
No. Well, because like at that point, as I'm watching this movie, I'm a little liking these characters less and less. I remember watching this movie with maybe more like googly eyes in the past. But like this viewing was like, I don't know. It's just like, cool.
Which is, it's funny because when I first watched it, I think I was the other way around. I was just like, none of this registers. And now I think I bought more into it as far as like, okay, yeah, whatever. But I still don't think it was based on anything of reality. It was just like, it was just sweet to see those moments later on. But yeah,
I don't. Those moments and just like, I don't know. It has like a very, it's almost, it's too, I won't say innocent, but it's just like the idea of just like, good wins, but then you're just like, good's not exactly winning.
I don't think that was good. They murdered somebody.
Yeah.
But he did have a gun, but also they murdered somebody and a lot of things went down.
That's true. That's true. But I just mean, well, because he was technically a bad person, but you still can't kill bad people. That's not cool.
There is a system in place. Yeah. A system. Murder them, then you go on trial, then you get acquitted, and then that's how
you get it.
Okay. Ready for some trivia?
Oh, yes, please.
Woo! The neighborhood is based on Tim Burton's hometown of Burbank, California.
No way.
Yeah.
Burbank is where they shot The Tonight Show.
Yeah, is it Conan?
Jay Leno and Johnny Carson. Okay. And, and Conan.
And Conan, they're all in the same, that area up there?
Yeah.
Boom. Okay, who said this? I cried like a baby when they first read the script.
Tim Burton?
Yeah, who do you think said that?
Johnny Depp?
Yes.
Really?
Johnny Depp said that. I don't have
that's
any more.
That's so weird.
Yeah. I guess that's his boy? I don't know. Here's another thing. Edward's hair is based on Robert Smith of The Cure's hair.
Okay, I see that. Yeah. I can definitely see that.
I didn't see that.
But I will say there's a lot of tragedy in this film. Like obviously you said the deaths, et cetera. Mm-hmm. There's like the underlying sense of abuse, not only from Edward, but that the bully jock, the jock.
Yeah.
Bully. There's like an undercurrent of like parental abuse.
Yeah.
You know? Like that family represent like they're like their rarity in that whole neighborhood of just being like this nice wholesome family, good for the sake of being good. But like that's not the vibe in the general neighborhood. Like he can create, but he can cause like so much pain. I get why you get maybe a little weepy about this, but it's a little odd too.
It's yeah. I'm trying to find me some like good.
But I can imagine if you're an emo kid, you're like, yeah.
This is probably your anthem.
No one understands you.
Here, here's one that Alan Arkin said. Alan Arkin says, when he first read the script, he was a bit baffled. Nothing really made sense to me until I saw the sets. Burton's visual imagination is extraordinary.
Yes.
I can see reading the script going, the fuck? Like, what are we doing here? You know? Because it's very stylized. It's like even... some of those shots where they're like on the phone with each other and like they're doing like a little telephone chain talking about like, he's that person, like new person in like the neighborhood. So. Yeah.
Very stylized. What did Winona Ryder think of her character?
Let's see if I can try to find
her. I heard something.
What did she say?
I heard she did not relate to this character at all.
Really?
Yeah, which I get. Because she's not like well fleshed out, to be honest.
Yeah, which is odd because here, it says contrary to popular belief, Winona Ryder was actually cast in the film before Johnny Depp.
Oh.
So her character
is...
Think
of her as blonde, right? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
She's very much a brunette.
Oh, here's one. This is weird. Michael Jackson was rumored for Edward. That would be a different movie.
I actually can see that, but also... No. Oh, that would be so awful.
Also, Tom Hanks was considered for Edward.
That's, no.
Yeah.
I see Michael before Tom. Edward. Yeah. Do you think Johnny Depp was playing Michael? Yeah, it was a black dude.
That really sums it all up. Raising hope. That is it. That is the nail in the coffin. This movie is an allegory for a black man within white America. I'm on board. I've been on board. Once you said it, I was on board. I don't know why I'm pretending like I wasn't. Yeah. I feel like that's a good enough stuff for trivia. Next time I'll have some fun ones. But that was cool. But here it is. Are you ready for it? The titular question. Yeah. Do they deserve love? Do they deserve love?
Is that a question? Is that a
yes.
Yes. No. Neither of them do.
Neither of them.
And not just because like the game of a rom-com wasn't played, etc. It's just sort of like what you displayed in this story was some deep immaturity.
Say it.
On both sides. Do you know what I mean? Like this you have to grow up in a lot of ways before you step up to someone. And that's probably why they never went back and saw each other. They were like, oh man, I was such a goof. I was such a dummy. Like,
you know what? That wasn't right for me, you know?
Yeah.
And just like, you know, strangers in the night kept going.
Yeah.
I have to agree with you. I don't think they deserve love in this movie. I feel like a relationship based on this, on that, you know, you can't start a relationship on a murder. Like, I feel like a secret murder that you had to like cover up. Like, you have to see that person, get reminded of that. That's a lot, you know?
Of the ex.
True. Of your ex. Maybe I need some time to breathe, you know.
But if we're talking about toxic relationships, that's something that bonds them.
Yeah. How did you guys meet? Well, I murdered her ex. Funny story. And now we're here. It's like, Where do you take it from?
Right.
Yeah. But that's the podcast. Thoughts.
So we both said no.
Yeah.
But we would like to hear from you.
Yes.
If you think they deserve love, you think maybe we got it wrong. Or maybe if there's some lessons that you want to like tell us about that we kind of like glossed over, that'd be nice. You can follow us. What are our handles?
My handles are The Alan Shane on Twitter, and on Instagram it's Alan Shane.
Yeah, and I'm Gally Serrer, Qaly Serrer on Twitter and Insta.
Yeah.
But you can also follow the podcast, Do They DTDL Podcast. On Instagram and Twitter. Please, check us out.
We put polls up there, so that'd be a lot of fun. And thank you guys for listening.
Bye. See you
in the next one. Bye.